For the devotional this evening, I had wrestled with how I wanted to present this. Last Sunday, I had an article in the bulletin about proving the existence of God. Hopefully, some people were benefited from that, and I actually intended to follow up with this topic tonight, and I was trying to decide whether to do it in a Devo and or in a bulletin article, and it was a fire shut up in my bones, and I could not forbear. There's a great scourge that has taken our land. Great sorrow has come into our land. A scourge that has affected our nation since January 22nd, 1973, when the law was passed that it was a so-called constitutional right for a woman to have an abortion. And since that time, over 54 million babies, 54 million plus precious souls have gone off into eternity because they have been murdered. Many people don't even think twice about that. We being children of God, we being Christian, that should disturb us. This is a great sin that this nation is committing. The Bible defines it as a sin. Do you recognize that the Bible, whether a child is preborn or postborn, if you will, outside the womb, has been born? I do not see where the Bible makes a distinction between the two as far as the value of them go. They are both innocent. They are both precious in the sight of God. All the way back in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 16, beginning of verse 20, there the Bible says, "Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them, idols, Molech, to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them?" In Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38, "Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils," idols, "shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood." Molech was an idol that was set up, and its arms were outstretched, if I have this correct. Its arms were outstretched, and it was designed that they could build a fire inside of this idol. And it would heat this metal object, this metal idol up, and upon the arms they would lay living children as sacrifices to these gods. Now notice it says that the land was polluted because of the abomination that they were committing. They were shedding innocent blood. Someone says, well, what about those that are still in the womb? An interesting lesson is taught in Exodus chapter 21, beginning of verse 25. It says, "If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, she gives birth to the child. And yet no mischief follow," that is that the child is born and it is all right, He shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine." Even though the child was born because these two men fighting, and because of this they'd done something in which the woman got tangled up in this scuffling, and the child was born and the child was all right, there was still a punishment. The man that caused this had to pay. But notice this. It says, "And if any mischief follow," that is, if there is harm to the baby's life. This is in reference to the baby's life. "If mischief follow," what happens? "Then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." According to the Romans, that was called lex talionis, the law of like for like. That isn't a vengeful thing. That is the punishment fits the crime. If the child is born and it dies or is miscarried and it is aborted, it is not delivered alive, the person that caused this, their life is forfeit. Why? Because they caused the death of a soul that was created in the image of God. Psalm 127, verse 3 beginning, talks about the great reward that our children are to us. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. This is a reward from God as children, as His children. He created mankind. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. This speaks of the preciousness of our children. We nurture them while they're in the womb. We take care of the mother and by extension take care of them. And then we take care of the children when they are brought forth. They are a heritage. They are a reward to mankind from the God of heaven. Children pre-born and post-born, if I can use that word, they're precious. Precious to the God of heaven and should be precious to us. Now some say, well, they're not actually human before they are born. They're not actually babies in the womb. Let me ask you, will they be an animal, vegetable, or mineral? They won't be a plant. They won't be an animal. They will come out. They will be human. They are human from the start and human to the end. They're not just a cluster of cells. You remember Jeremiah the prophet? God told him, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Is God saying that he knew a cluster of cells? Or did he know Jeremiah as a human being? Some try to salve their conscience because of abortion and try and make it into something that is either pre-human or not human. It is human from start to finish. It is human from the moment of conception and has and is an immortal soul. And they are innocent. You know, in Romans chapter 9, there Paul is making an illustration based upon Rebekah and by extension Isaac and Ishmael, probably more talking about the nations, but the general principle is still true in what he says there when he talks about Isaac and Ishmael, when he says, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, they hadn't been born yet, hadn't done any good or evil. What's he saying? They were innocent. They were morally neutral. And yet they are in the womb and they're recognized as innocent. Now, where does that lead? Well, what about the shedding of innocent blood? Did you ever read Proverbs 6, verse 16? Children of God, spiritual Israel, do you hear me? Where the Bible says, there are six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. Notice what's in that list. Hands that shed innocent blood. What did we just see? Children in the womb and after the womb, until they reach the age of accountability, are innocent. So to kill, murder a child while it is still in the womb is an abomination to the God of heaven because that is the shedding of innocent blood. Saw a thing and it's sad and it's import and what it says, the biggest difference between killing a child outside the womb and killing a child inside the womb is that you don't hear the child in the womb scream. It's abomination. What happens to nations that put up with such a behavior? Last point, in Joel 3, verse 9. There the prophet Joel said, Egypt shall be a desolation, Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Judah because they have shed innocent blood in their land. Probably talking about adults, but maybe talking about children as well. But the principle is still sound. What happens to nations that will kill their children, that will shed innocent blood? They live in a polluted land. And what happened to Egypt? Spiritually speaking, a desolation. Edom shall be a desolate wilderness. Question, can a nation survive for a long period of time if they are shedding innocent blood, if they are killing their children, especially killing them in the womb? Read historically the great atrocities of Assyria, Babylon, and other nations like that. We read of them in the Bible. Read of their history. They were great wicked nations, and because of their wickedness, God said, enough, you're done, and providentially brought an end to those nations. Can any nation, including this one, stand living in a polluted land that is polluted with the blood of the innocent? Unborn children. How long is it before it's post-born? There's been some discussions along this line that this individual here, if you see where my pointer's at, he followed the logical conclusion of it. It's been accused that he made reference that one could kill one outside the womb after a certain amount of time before so much time had passed. Now, if that's not true, would that not be the logical conclusion? Would that not be where this would lead? Where do you draw the line? If it is not human in the womb, well, how long after the womb would they claim it's not human? How far do you go with this madness, this mad distemper that has taken our country? What can we as children of God do? We being Christian, what can we do? Pray for our nation. Pray that the God of heaven, that Jehovah's God wrath will be turned away, and that Jehovah God will not bring an end to this nation. I'm not a doomsday prophet. But if you read the Old Testament and you see what God done with nations after they reached a level of wickedness, God said, enough of you. Did you ever think this nation has greater blessings than they did? Why? Because we have the New Testament. We have a better revelation. We're going to be held to a higher standard. Mankind is now. So we pray for our nation, brothers and sisters. Pray for those who have committed this grievous sin, that they repent and obey the gospel. Those that have engaged in abortions, whether they have had one or whether they practice the giving of these, medically speaking, they can be forgiven, but they have to repent in the blood of Christ. Through the water of baptism, they can be forgiven, but they have to repent of that grievous sin. Pray for those who give acceptance, those that give encouragement, those give advancements to this grievous sin, that they repent. You remember in Romans 1 verse 32, there the general principles taught that where it says that they which commit such things, the things that the great wickedness in the Gentile world that Paul is talking about there, he says those that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Those people that endorse those heinous practices described in Romans chapter 1, those that would give acceptance to that, give credence to that, encouragement to that, they are worthy of the same condemnation, the same wrath of God as those that are practicing it. Those people that encourage abortion and laugh as legislation is put into place. Their souls are in danger. We need to teach them. We need to pray for them the truth of what the Word of God says. And we need to stand up against this grievous murder involving precious unborn babies. That's what they are, they're babies. Reading the book of Luke, when Elizabeth came in to see her cousin, the Bible says when her cousin heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. The babe. The same word is used of a born child. The same word is used as the babe still in the womb. See, the Bible makes no difference. They're both precious. They're both living souls. They're both human, created in the image of God. And we need to stand up against this immoral madness, this craziness that has taken our country, and not be swept away by it, brothers and sisters. Someone that has been guilty of this or any sin, the blood of Christ can forgive any sin if one is willing to obey the gospel. If one will believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of that sin, turn away from that sin, confess the name of Christ and be baptized in water for the remission of their sins, whatever your sin might be, if when you obey the gospel, when you come out of the waters of baptism, washed in the blood of the Lamb, forgiven of every sin you ever committed to that point. Someone that has obeyed the gospel in time past, allowed the world to influence them, to lead them away from God's word and God's will and God's way, they can come back. If it's of a public nature, they can ask publicly for forgiveness to show they have turned from the wickedness that they have been engaged in. Ask for the prayers of the brothers and sisters as they pray themselves to the God of heaven for forgiveness. We will pray with you and we will pray for you if that is your need spiritually. Maybe you need the prayers of the saints for encouragement as we go through this pilgrimage of life. You watch the news for a little bit and you think, what a mess. Is there any hope for the things going on in this world? Yes, Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Son of God. That's the remedy this world needs. The world is sin sick, and the great physician, Jesus Christ, is the remedy. And through His blood and through the Word of God, mankind can have spiritual healing, have salvation. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the invitation, please come forward as together we stand and we sing.
Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying thee, will you say, this will I do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus, my friend? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, oh friend, what will he do with me?
You dismissed your classes.